Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome back to the Kentucky Dad Podcast. Big Blue Drew here. Took a few well-deserved weeks off. The twins are here. Everything's great. So I'm sure we'll talk a ton about that. So thanks for joining. If you haven't checked out the Dad Podcast ever or in a while, please go back and take a look. We've had some awesome guests on in what I've dubbed as Season 2 with Dick Gabriel. We had Keith Farmer from BBN tonight, which would be a great correlation into this week's guest or this episode's guest. So again, thank you for joining. Make sure you're checking us out at Kentucky Dad Pod on Twitter and following the Sea of Blue and all that stuff. So I'm pumped for this one. It's great to be back on the mic. I have a lot of bent up dad stuff, obviously, over the last few weeks. The twins will be 4 weeks old on Monday. It's absolutely crazy. Today, we're going to learn a little bit about her, me as well. Somebody that I've never met in person. I'm excited to talk to a little bit. Jesse Reif, the executive producer of BBN Tonight. So somebody, a show that's familiar with the Kentucky Dad Podcast, as I'm joining us today. So Jesse, thank you for coming on, man. What's up?
Hey, Drew. Thanks for having me. I'm excited. Next, have to run into you at the football game next time so we can put faces with names and everything.
Yes, and I noticed that your Twitter like profile stuff definitely mentions that football season is all the time. So I picked up that you're yes. A big football person. And then just hearing your voice so clearly, I mean, you seem to be from Kentucky. So give us a little bit the listeners of like, you know, just your background story, you know, kind of walk us through how you became the executive producer at with BBN Tonight.
Yeah, so I am from Kentucky. I'm from the Ashland area, Westwood, kind of the wrong side of the Ashland railroad tracks there. And then I spent 5 years down in the mountains and around Hazard and Hindman. And so, you know, still prayers out for all my people down there. And, you know, I take a minute to push everybody towards the Red Cross Fund that we've been able to raise so much money for everybody affected by the flooding down there. So that link is still active. You know, you can find that on lex18.com or my Twitter, the BBN Twitter, anywhere that we post stuff.
Good. Yeah, no, I know that's been, every day has kind of strung together. People have said that to me, like, oh, the days are running together, especially people that kind of work in the news or even like emergency services with crazy hours. But a month with newborn twins and all the other kids and stuff I got going, it feels that way. So I know the flood was just, you know, something that I haven't even really, you know, talked about on radio or been involved with much other than, you know, watching it here on TV and following it from afar. But this week I've been out and about a little bit more, and I was just around some people that are trying to get that charity basketball game off. And I know the narrative kind of got shifted to the rules and all that stuff, but I appreciate you saying that, and please everybody go check that out and, you know, donate. It sounds like a great way to do it if you're planning to do something like that. So, and then what about your family though, man? So I know you're a very new dad, right? As of December, is that right?
Yeah. So we're due in December.
Okay.
So I'm still in the very much in the research phase of of this. Me and my wife are so excited. We cannot wait having a little girl. And I need some advice from you now that you,
sure,
you know, you. Yeah, I feel like you've got the experience that I need to glean something from this conversation.
Well, hopefully you take something away, but I'm always very transparent and upfront that like I'm this is more dad therapy as opposed to me casting over my and I think about that a lot. I crack up when I'm like screaming, yelling at my kids. I know they're just, you know, they're like, oh, he hosts the Dad Podcast. So I'm very imperfect in those regards. And my daughter actually started high school today. So I'll give you some odd advice maybe to start, or maybe just some you didn't think that you would get. So I'm sure that after you teed up that question or kind of that you know, that scenario in your life, about to have this daughter, almost everybody probably responds with like, get your shotgun loaded, or you better watch out, or, you know, something like along the lines of just like being an overprotective father, right? They just automatically say that. So my advice is, at least for the next few months, just like, don't even ignore that. The next few years, even just enjoy it for what it is, because I promise you, when it comes, that feeling is real. Cause I'm experiencing it now, but, I look back on that and just thought, I'm like, man, just enjoy the next, I don't know, 12-ish, 13 years, before all that stuff that everyone's warning you about really starts to come, you know, roaring its head. And, yeah, but I have a great kid. She started school this week. First one of anybody in my family to ever go to private school. So we started private school this week, which I highly recommend financially. If you're bringing newborn twins into your life, it's a great time to start that. But anyway, it was great seeing her in her skirt, get on the bus, doing that thing. We all feel like we're going to private school. So that's been sweet. Today was day two. So we're like, what'd you eat? What? Oh my gosh, let me see your iPad. Like that's so cool. So that's been a neat experience for our family. So, but little girls are the best, man. You're going to enjoy being a girl dad. There really is something special about it. I think very much so, like it brings out compassion. Like I'm not a very compassionate person, I wouldn't say, like face-to-face especially. But with my daughter, I just kind of always, she has like the longest leash with me. She can't do any wrong. So you're going to love it. You're going to do great. And there is no manual. So good luck.
Oh my goodness. You're telling me. It has been such an experience, and like I'm not an emotional guy just by my nature, you know, like I'm the like, oh, let's bottle that up and we'll deal with it 10 years down the road or whatever. But like, just knowing that I'm going to have this little girl to take care of, like me and my wife were talking about, like, how are we going to do daycare? Like, you know, she only gets 8 weeks of maternity leave. So he's like,
oh, wow.
You know, like, week nine, like, do we need to have a daycare ready to go? How do you pick a daycare? I don't know.
Yeah. No, well, and I'll say get on that, start it early, because I feel like that's a big COVID inflation roundabout thing too. Daycares will be like building something on your house, like 6 months booked out and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, we started calling around and, you know, we've got on a waiting list, but then I was thinking about it, and I don't want her to go to daycare, you know, not that early anyway.
Man, it's so tough, man. That's an awesome place to start. So if we'll pause there for a second. So we have Jesse Reif, like a knife, on from BBN Tonight, the executive producer, which don't let me forget, Jesse, if we do, I want to talk a little bit more, because a lot of times we'll have the talking heads and the talent per se, as they say. But right, dipped my toes in the news business enough to know that you're the real talent. Like you guys are the real talent. So
Well, I don't know about that. But if Keith Farmer says anything funny on television, just know that I wrote
it. Yeah, exactly. I know that. But no, you brought up a good point, because I'm kind of at that spot too, and I'm sure tons of listeners have childcare expenses or stress or worries. And I know some people like will usually tell you too, like, oh, my mom takes care of them or whatever, and they'll just like let out a big sigh. Like, I know how lucky I am. Like, people really do. Like, childcare is just like so insane. I mean, I'm not even going to get into it as much as like the cost for myself, but we've been going in, having that discussion lately of like, damn, like when you really sit back and think about it, you know, you're paying someone to raise your kid too. Like, they spend so much more time with them than you ever will just with work schedule. You know, it's usually like, you know, get to bed and all that kind of just, you know, eating dinner in between type thing. So we've talked about that a lot too, especially with, you know, when you're looking at daycares, times that by three for me, plus the older one in school. So we are absolutely having a discussion and like debate in the family, which I know a lot of families do, about like, you know, at what point is one of us working worth it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So childcare is scary, man. So that's a good place to start your worry. Good job.
Yeah. We're in it. We're still trying to figure out, and I'm a planner by nature. Like
you're a producer.
I'm the guy
by schedule. Like,
absolutely. Like I need to buy a car. Okay. Well, like I've got to shop for 6 months before I can pull that trigger.
Right.
You know, like, so there's a lot of new things that we're having to buy, learning about strollers, learning about car seats.
Somebody asked me about the what's the stroller that we have now? Hubba Baby, Bubba Baby, Lulla Baby.
Up a Baby.
Up a Baby. Okay. Once we like it, man. Once we got to figure it out, we had a little learning curve on it, but that's good. But just the whole life of twins, man. And I'm sure there's people. I should probably preface this by, obviously, I'm just going to keep bouncing all over the place. My mind in general, plus not having done one of these in a while. But just the whole dynamic of twins, man, which, I mean, I'll state the obvious. You need two of everything. So it's like, dude, a vehicle, we still, I think twice I've gotten myself, my wife, the newborn twins, my three-year-old son, and my teenage daughter in our expedition together. And it is just like a clown show in there. So all that stuff is majorly coming into play, like equipment and how to get this done. But the upper baby thing we like, and I'm trying to think of something I feel like we really, really like that I was going to highly recommend. Go ahead.
Well, we're looking upper baby, or went to fan day for the football team, and all the football coaches' wives had Nuna. And so now I'm like, well, the football coach's wife having it. Yeah,
got to check those out for sure. It's so funny. I'm actually leaning on the other product I was supposed to review, which was the Snoo, the bassinet. Have you heard of the Snoo?
Yes, I've heard of the Snoo.
So we're very fortunate. Through our employers, we were able to get like essentially just like they like kind of let you borrow them or rent them, and then you just return them when they're done, which is genius. I think a lot of the higher end baby stuff now, which was kind of a nice little tidbit for the dad pod, if you're, you know, well seasoned and not having any new babies, is that a lot of this equipment is so high tech now, you can rent it, you know, for like the duration of that, you know, span of your kid's life, which is actually kind of cool. And then all the high tech stuff, but we got them that way, so I know they're crazy expensive and they are pretty neat, but I don't know that they're like working wonders yet, but we're still under a month, you know, you kind of got to train them on it. But it's pretty sick, man. Like, you put them in there, you strap them in, the louder they cry, the more creative it gets. And it has like a light on it. So like from bed, you can see, and it'll go from red to maybe like, you know, down to green, and, you know, in theory soothed it. But anyway, it's kind of cool though. I definitely think pretty much any woman between about 22 and 35 gets targeted for those things on IG for sure.
Yeah. My wife is getting all of it. That is for sure.
I'm sure. Before we get off the rails too much, so again, we have Jesse Reif on here, producer Lex 18, another friend of the show. Like I said, we had Keith Farmer on this season. Nick Roush came on. Dick Gabriel, Terry Brown. We had some sweet guests. So please go back. You can look and just search AC of Blue on like Spotify, Apple, however you get consume your podcasts. And you can check it out that way. But I know you haven't been on ever, obviously. So I kind of got back to some of the old school questions of the dad pod. So in your throughout your like regular, like let's say like weekly routine, Jesse, do you drink more soda, alcohol, or coffee?
Water, beer, and coffee that's coffee in the morning, water throughout the day, beer when I get home.
All right. Well, to then you're going to have to ask to finish the question then, is it more alcohol or coffee throughout the week, would you say?
Probably coffee. Coffee. I'm a whole pot. Whole just, pot in the morning.
Just drinking it black?
Nah, I put some of the sugary stuff in it. I like the French vanilla. I like it black.
I'm not going to lie, man. Just hearing your voice for the first time when we were talking, I thought for sure you're going to be a huge Mountain Dew guy, just for sure.
I mean, I like Mountain Dew. That is, that, I come by that honest, that's for sure.
Nice, cool. All right, very fair then. What about nicknames? What nicknames? I've got to assume Rife the Knife, I came with that one off. I mean, just boom off the cuff. So have any nicknames like growing up or even any now that stuck?
No, not really. There was a short period when I was a kid that people called me Jim. And that was because I graduated with 53 people out of high school. So really small school. I went to Fairview High School. Shout out, go Eagles.
All right.
And at one point we had six Jessies. and so I just kind of jokingly said, well, just call me Jim. And that stuck for like three whole years, like all through till I got to high school.
That's making me laugh because you do watch The Office? Are you an Office guy?
Yeah, I've seen The Office.
Because I just, when I asked the nickname question, like just yesterday or so, maybe we watched the episode how Jim got, you know, he started calling him Tuna just because, you know, he just brought that thing the one day and then you're Jim. I'm just that one thing. So it was kind of reversed there. But that's crazy though, man. That's a small graduating class and to have a lot of Jessies.
Yeah. It was just that one year. Then we lost like three of them, but it was so, I think like two of us were at the same table in the classroom, and it was just, I was fed up with it. So
all y'all probably like Mountain Dew, so you couldn't use that as a differentiator.
Right. Yeah. No, all the boys definitely played all the same sports.
Right. Know,
little school, like everybody plays all the sports.
I'm glad we brought up names though. That was good nicknames, because it was a kind of a running joke on the show about what I was going to name the twins. And I have to start this by saying I'm so mad and kicking myself, because the day they were born, most people didn't even know, hardly anyone. And my brother texted me, how are Harry and Lloyd? From Dumb and Dumber. And I was cracking.
Yeah.
How have I not been using that one as like one of my this whole time? Because, you know, I'd been teasing like, Brennan and Dale, and like just silly things like that.
But,
anyway, we landed on Jake and Trey. So Trey being my third son. So my wife compromised towards the end and really hooked me up. She wanted Miles as a first name, which I wasn't super opposed to, but we slid it into Jake's middle name. So Jake Miles Brown. Trey Thomas Brown. So pretty hyped. I got three boys under 3.5 now. So a whole squad of them. They're going to be fighting, clawing, scratching, who knows what. But I'm excited. But definitely, all things considered, man, having newborn twins, which we got to talk about that with you a little bit, because as new parents, you kind of more project like college funds and this, when really you need to be worried about how to change those like tarry, disgusting diapers in like 90 days. Because that's what's really coming.
Yeah, no, like I said, I'm a planner. So like I've already got the spreadsheet for the college fund.
Nice.
I'm on top of all that. The diaper thing, I'll figure that out when I get to it.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. As a new parent, you're going to find out quick, like the stuff that really tangibly you're going to need to brush up on and be good in the moment. And I have an amazing, a better way to describe it might be horrific kind of story from the hospital and the way it played out, but it's funny and it all worked out. So if you followed it on Twitter, so not uncommon at all with twins. One of the twins ended up in the NICU for a week, which was really tough. But I didn't know this, Jesse. I found it very interesting that with twins, that typically it is the larger twin, like the, you know, the one that weighs more poundage, that has like premature related type problems or just any issues that might cause it to go to the NICU, which again, wasn't that uncommon, but as you can imagine, mom stuff, pretty upsetting, not having they didn't get to meet for about a week or so. But anyway, he actually had to be intubated, which that was really kind of tough. And it's just scary to see, you know, he's pretty much immobilized with the tube and sedated. So that was challenging to see, but throughout the whole process, just lots of wires. That was just a long like way of saying just a lot of wires and stuff. They can kind of look scary, but ultimately I was never extremely scared about like the reason he was in the NICU, if that makes sense. So I go in there, maybe night three. Another very difficult part of this was that mom can't, you know, she can go up there, but not often, like once or twice a day. I mean, it was all that was really making sense. So I'm up there a ton, like in the NICU, and get up there one night. Oh, you know, maybe this was like the second night. So everything was still brand new. And it's really like, you know, almost like you have like a attendant there at your NICU station all the time. So you, whoever's working, you're kind of like talking with them, working in partnership almost to do things. So like, oh, do you want to change Trey's diaper? I'm like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, not particularly down here, but yeah, let's do it. So we go over there. It's like a dynamite, like a cartoon bomb. There's wires everywhere, you know? So we go, she's helping me. I mean, it probably takes her a good 30, 90 seconds just to get these wires and cords like in her hands to where I can't even just get in there to start changing this like little baby's diaper, right? So I immediately take it off. And if you are familiar with like newborns, like the first week, like I just alluded to, they have this tarry substance that comes out of them that is just, you'll meet it soon. It's very disgusting. I think it's different on even like with breastfed babies or breast milk and stuff, but very gross. So we open this diaper and I mean, it is just filled to the brim. Like we look at each other, like there is no possible way this is ending without like at least another nurse coming over to like replace all this equipment that's about to just get destroyed. but props to Big Blue Drew. Like I've leaned and told this story many times since then. We got it done. And I forget the nurse's name now, but we got it done and we definitely, shared a moment with that. And throughout the week we were laughing about it, 'cause even in her experience, she was like, she thought that one was going sideways. So, and I've used it as kind of a point of solace for myself in the fact that, like, when it gets stressful at home, I just like look back at that moment, like, man, that was tough.
Yeah. Golly. So
get used to the diaper, to the diaper thing. I don't know. Are you like easily grossed out by like smell and stuff?
Nah, like that? I'll be all right. Like you said, you can tell by my accent. I grew up hunting and fishing and all that stuff. So I don't think it won't be too bad. And I worked at a gas station as a cashier attendant there for a little while, and people are very unkind to bathrooms and gas stations. So
fair enough. Yeah,
I've seen it.
I'll say this too, and I'm always like weird, like the way that I present this advice, but whenever I, you know, it's either like a relative or something coming over with one of my kids or new dads that I've seen, like, you just got to get in there and do it. Like, you're not going to break them when you're changing the diaper and stuff. Like, you don't be throwing them around or anything, but, you know, you know, grab a leg, get in there, wipe them up, change them up, and keep it moving. So, but you guys are going to be great. What's that? You got like a whole nursery done, everything?
Yeah. I actually just finished, we just got the crib and a dresser, and I just finished putting that together last night. So,
oh, wow. How did that go?
Man, the crib wasn't too bad. The dresser, so we ordered it online because everywhere, sure. You know, we went to Bye Baby and all these places, and they're just out of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to order it. So we order it online, and, like, the crib gets there, and it's in a pretty good-sized box. I'm like, okay, this ain't going to be too bad. It's, like, 10 pieces, easy to put together, takes no time at all. The next day, the dresser shows up. This box, it's way too small for there to be a dresser in it. I was like, oh, no, this is 100 pieces. This is, and it was. It, like, every single drawer, there's six drawers on this thing. Every drawer was six different pieces of wood. Had to put it all together. It was.
Better be sturdy.
Yeah. No fun putting that together, but it is together, and it's big enough that hopefully I don't have to buy a dresser for a long time.
See, that's kind of like my reverse now, having four kids at 35 now, is that like people ask like, oh, the nursery thing. I'm like, if I'm sitting here, like today would have been the example. If I'm sitting here in mid to late August and my kids are like, I'm like, dang, I could go put them in their cribs to sleep. Like, that's going to be the best problem in the world. And I will go buy a dresser, but I know they'll be bedside for far longer than I want. Potentially like 10 years, potentially I could be. So my room set up now, I'm sitting in our nursery. I'm sure, do you have a rocker or a glider per se?
Not yet, but that is on the list.
I'm sure it is. Yep. So the rocker glider. So I'm in our rocker, which is like our nursery thing, because we have the two snooze in our bedroom. And then my toddler in the other corner of our bedroom has his like kid mattress in our bed that he just sleeps in. So that's just how our setup is. And we knew that was what was coming. So good luck with that. Hopefully, I know that's a big parent philosophy thing, is
yeah, that's what we and stuff. So I was on the let's put off buying stuff as long as we can. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's just sock the money away and then buy it all at the end. And my wife was like, no, that's stressing me out. There's got to be a crib.
Yep. It's impossible. So, you know, you're sitting around preparing for the birth of your first child. Like, all you're doing is kind of like, you know, just your normal hang around the house routine, and you got to get stuff done. You got to do it. You got to pick a color. Yeah. You got to put the dresser. So it's totally normal. Got to do it. And like I said, hopefully at some point I can transition my kids to their own rooms, but that's definitely a challenging thing that I'm sure any parent, mom, dad, whoever listening to is the sleeping arrangement. And I know that, man, I know with my daughter, we did a much better job about having some tough crying out type nights. And from there, I mean, she's probably served her better. She's independent, never really had trouble too much with like sleepovers and things like that. But that's a big one, man. I know boys love their mamas too. So we'll have to play that as it goes. But that's always can be a point of contention with parenting.
Yeah. We've went the bedside bassinet route as well. So, well, I don't know how we're going to go about I don't know. When do you transition to the crib? Like, I don't know.
I think you got to wait some months. Did you get your What to Expect When Expecting book?
Yeah. So yeah, she's got a book. We've got the pamphlets from the hospital. You know, they, every time you go, they send you home with something else to read.
A lot. Yeah, exactly. A lot of this too is going to be like, you know, it's subjective, dude. It's your baby. They'll probably tell you that. The nurses usually give you that. I've done this so many times. It's crazy. The nurses will give you that advice in there a little bit, like, yeah, I got to do your own thing. It's your baby and make up your own mind because, you know, Pinterest will tell you to do God knows what.
Yeah. And TikTok now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You learn everything from TikTok now.
You do some amazing things as well that I know, but it's very difficult to filter out the useful from the far, far, far.
Yeah.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit. So, again, we have Jesse Reif on here from BBN Tonight. And let's talk a little bit about your job, man, in the Wildcats for just a minute. Because I know that you guys get, like, you know, quite a bit of access and information and stuff. Like, a ton of times, you know, other media outlets, I guess, are kind of waiting for you all to report news or an interview or something. And then kind of forming their stories around that. So, it's been very successful, I guess, as well. And how long has the show been going now?
Yeah, so we're been doing this a few years now, and it really has been like I tell people, yeah, I've got the best job in the world. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't have dreamed anything better than what I'm doing. And there was a short period of time where I was like, I want to work for ESPN, and then I was like, I don't want to live in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, like, oh, where else is it? Charlotte? No. Nope. Don't want to live there either. So I just could not be more thrilled with our partnership with UK and the access that we're able to have and my TV station, LEX18. Like, it is really rare to have a half hour locally produced show. Sure. on TV at 7:30 leading into prime.
Yeah, I know. Every night too. You know what I mean? It's 'cause it's
five, yeah, every week, night, right? You know, yeah, some, yeah, like you'll see Saturday morning shows, and we do that as well. But you know, you don't see Monday through Friday sports shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it even the industry really is even like sports jobs are getting cut, you know, in local TV. And for us to really plant our flag on this and say, hey, you know, we're going to be the official UK station, and we're going to do it right and bring you, you know, 3-4 hours of UK content a week is just really incredible.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I think that it's definitely unique because there's only so many markets that could support and do something like that. So what is the day in the life of you look like as far as producing that show from like a sourcing story standpoint?
Man, it's really the thing that makes my job so great is that I am surrounded by so many talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so we're very, it's a very democratic, like we come in and it's like, what, you know, what is today's big blue story? Like, what is the, mm-hmm. What is the story that in UK athletics that we need to be talking about? And, you know, we have a couple restrictions here and there. Like, we're not allowed to talk recruiting.
Okay.
Because the university owns a little stake in the show.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so it would be, we get messages all the time like, hey, why aren't you talking about this 5-star recruit? And it's like, well, we want him to come here and it's a NCAA violation.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but lots of people don't, but it's, you know, like, so we have some limitations there, like Reed Shepherd hasn't signed yet. So we haven't been able, the new station can. So like Keith Farmer on his 7 o'clock sportscast can tell you about that recruit, but on BBN Tonight, we can't.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, just like today it's great. It's football season. That's my wheelhouse. I'm happily surrounded by basketball lovers.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, and I'm not going to get into what kind of school we are or anything like that.
Oh, but, golly, I've missed all that a little bit. kind of coming in on the tail end of that. And man, like, yeah, I'll just make my stance on that simple. Like, Man, both programs rolling. Let's invent a problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. how lucky are we?
Right. Well, talk to me about football, man. So you're a football guy. I mean, what are you looking forward to this year? What are you thinking? I mean, obviously it's gotta be probably the most preseason, you know, hype and expectations as you can remember as a Kentucky football fan.
Man, I am super excited to see what Brad White puts on the field.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think this could be one of his better defenses since he has been here at Kentucky. And we all know that he has put some pretty good defenses on the field. But I've spent my afternoon watching Octavius Oxendine film.
Okay.
Against LSU. Cause it, you know, all week in practice, they've been, you know, everybody's been really hyping Ox up. And so I was like, well, let's look into it. See, and man, his film against LSU, he played such a good game. Like stuff that didn't show up. Like anytime he was in the middle of that defense, the center and the guard both have to block him. Like, mm-hmm. and he's pushing the pile. You know, he didn't get a sack on this play, but the quarterback had to roll out through it, you know, through a bad pass. And so I'm really excited to see. And he's slimmed down a bit. They say he's just as strong and a little faster. And so I'm excited to see what Ox can do and what I think that D-line is deep. And of course, they're going to miss Josh Pascal and Barquan McCall. But I think it's pretty incredible the recruiting job the football team has done, because you lose a guy like Josh Pascal, and like I know he's probably going to start for the Lions, and I don't think Kentucky's going to take a step back.
Look at you. You said you weren't going to – you're obviously saying we're a football school. Just say it, Jesse.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about the football team this season. I will say that Georgia is probably still a tall task, but this is the year that if they were going to do it, I think this is the year to do it.
Hey, I like it. I'll get any game, besides, I can't say that one, but is there any game that you like kind of got circled on your calendar that you're excited for?
I really want to see him go to Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's me too. That's my game I'm excited for. I really hope the stars align. My wife's family and we lived in South Florida for a while, so not really on the way at all. They're kind of just both south, but I'm hoping maybe the stars align that I could get down there, because that has been a very popular trip of a lot of members of the Big Blue Nation, just because, you know, we don't get down there a ton, and it's widely regarded as the top spot.
Oh yeah. And I just want to see, you know, it's an unfamiliar environment, mm-hmm. you know, like if you go to Tennessee or Florida, or sure, those are terrible environments to go play in as the road team, but it's places Kentucky's been, you know, frequently. But Ole Miss, you know, there's not a lot of guys that have taken snaps in that stadium, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. I know a lot of fans are pumped about going, but okay, I've never been on the clock with the Dad Podcast. Apparently, we got to upgrade our plan or something. We only have 2 minutes and now 32 seconds. I don't normally do like live radio and stuff, so that would be – it's very stressful to me to be in this environment. So I have to do – I'm going to do my dad joke first, and then I'm going to let you do yours, and we're going to end it up. All right, here's mine. I saw my wife slightly drunk yelling at the TV, "Don't go in there, don't go in there, don't go in that church, you moron." She's watching our wedding video again. Oh, zinger. All right, Jesse, let's go. What do we got? So, Jesse, again, thank you, BBN Tonight, executive producer. I'm going to wind us down on our dad joke, and thanks for listening, everybody.
All right. So what happens when you eat aluminum foil?
Ooh, what happens when you – what's that?
You sheet metal.
Ah, dang. I'm trying to think about the disposal. Nice. You sheet metal. Good. Sheet metal. All right, Jesse, we appreciate you. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Please check it out. See a blue. You can find everything there. We cover all the sports. So it's going to be exciting. We got lots of guests committed too. I got a little more free time. So please check out the podcast, and thanks for listening. We will catch everybody next time.